Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 93 of the Grumpy Girlfriend podcast with me, your host and certified life coach, Katrin Berndt. Today, we are going to have some fun together. We're going to practice getting cheated on and finding out about it. Now, why in the world would we do that, you might ask? Well, because the reason so many girlfriends fear it so much is because of what they imagine it will be like. They are afraid of how they will feel, what they will think, what they will make it mean, what will happen next, and so on. And the best way to get better at handling a situation, other than experiencing it over and over and continuously improving, is to visualize it happening. And practicing feeling the emotions and managing and watching your own mind. There's this saying that your brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. The way that saying is used these days is a bit sloppy because it suggests that if we just pretend that something is happening, all of a sudden your brain will think that it really is. That is not the case. Your brain can tell the difference in a situation like that. However, what your brain doesn't do is take reality into consideration when it believes something to be true. If you think your partner really is cheating on you based on a text you found, it doesn't matter what the truth is regarding that text or what is actually happening in reality. All that matters is what your brain believes. So in that sense, your brain doesn't really take reality into consideration and can't tell the difference between what is actually true and what it just made up and then believed to be true. So no, your brain is not magically going to believe that you're cheated on during this exercise that we are going to do today. But that doesn't mean that you can't use your imagination to kind of push your own buttons and go through the worst possible scenario in your mind. Now, all of us who fear getting cheated on have our own unique flavors of hell based on what our insecurities and fears are. So as I describe the scenario and walk you through it today, some of the things that I say might not be your specific flavor. That's fine. You're free to kind of tweak the details of the circumstance to fit your personal hell a little better. Now, let's get started. You are in a good relationship with a partner that you love and trust. You look forward to your life together and all the fun plans that you have for the future. At one point, something starts to change. You notice that your partner is withdrawing a little from the relationship, not spending as much time with you and spending a lot of time with their friends or at work. One day, you get a text from your partner that says, "Want to hook up at your place after work? Tongue emoji. I told my girlfriend I'm working late." This is the first place in this story where we will stop time. Just freeze it right here. You have gotten the text that was clearly meant for someone else. Everything in the world stops, and all I want you to do is watch yourself in this moment. Here's what I observe when I watch myself in this exact moment. It feels like a shockwave has gone through my entire body. An intense, cold, stabbing sensation right into my heart and stomach at the same time. I'm shivering and sweating all at once. Interestingly enough, it very quickly turns into embarrassment, panic, and shame for my partner. Getting a text message that wasn't meant for me feels so embarrassing for me that I want to cry. My codependently programmed brain immediately thinks about how awkward this is for my partner and how much he must be freaking out right now. I also observe my thoughts starting to race. My brain is working extremely hard to make sense of this, fill in the gaps, and understand what is going on. Hurry, hurry, hurry. There is so much urgency to solve this shocking situation in order to get relief from the panic that is building inside. Who was this meant for? Do I know her? For how long has this been going on? Is my partner going to deny it? What am I supposed to do now? Where am I supposed to go? Is my partner going to come home? Luckily, everything is frozen while we're observing this situation. I'm not acting on any of my feelings. My partner isn't spamming me with texts or calling. It's just me, myself, and I. And it's just what's on the inside that matters. In reality, in a situation like this, time obviously wouldn't be frozen. But practicing handling this situation with the tool of pretend frozen time actually prepares you to handle the situation way better if it were to happen. In reality, we can't stop time, but we can slow it down and not act irrationally and out of control by staying still, focusing on our emotions on the inside, and simply observing what we are experiencing. This is an extremely useful skill to have. Even though everything is frozen right now, and I'm not acting on what I'm feeling, I can clearly observe what my thoughts and feelings are making me want to do in this situation. I want to text my partner 1,000 texts, asking questions, calling him names, telling him to fuck off and never come home. I want to pack my things, grab the puppy, take the train to my mom. I never want to see or talk to my partner ever again. I want to run away and hide forever and just forget that any of this ever happened and that I ever knew him. And I probably also want to post this text on social media just to punish my partner and get support from friends and followers. As you can see, some of these actions are fine and reasonable. Some of them, not so much. But when emotions are really intense and you're in the immediate shock phase, it's very difficult to sort them into reasonable and unreasonable categories. This is another reason why learning how to slow down time and process the emotion in the body is so important. Once you have let the initial storm calm down a little, you can start thinking rationally once again. So, in this scenario, you've been sitting on the couch, time frozen, for about, say, 10 minutes, just observing yourself, feeling the storm of emotions and sensations inside of your body, hearing and listening to all of the thoughts that are flying around in your brain. But you haven't done anything. You haven't acted or reacted, and you haven't responded to how you feel. Now that we are going to start time back up again, it's not as if everything is fine and there are no clouds in the sky, but you will be aware that you are not in life-threatening danger in this moment. You don't have to act irrationally and crazy in this moment. You are sitting on your couch, your partner is not there right now, you are safe. Time starts back up again. The horrible emotions are still in your body at this point, and your mind is still racing. But you know that you have to be mindful of what you do, because it's difficult to act rationally when emotions are really high. You also know that your partner's emotions will be extremely intense in this moment too, which might cause them to do or say things that aren't ideal. And the only difference here is that your partner doesn't really have the tools not to do these things. They are simply reacting to what they're feeling and thinking in this state of panic and fight or flight. Whatever that feeling is, whatever that leads them to do. Your phone lights up. Your partner is calling you. You do not want to talk to them right now, so you just let it ring, and you can feel the associated feelings in your body. They call again. I want you to notice here that you're in the middle of the worst case scenario right now. This is it. Whatever you're feeling in your body in this moment, whatever your brain is doing, this is the worst of the worst of the worst. You leave your phone on the table and go grab your suitcase. As you're packing your things, the tears come. The initial shock has kind of loosened its grip a little, which allows for more movement in the emotions that you feel. You're starting to catch up with reality. You cry uncontrollably while gathering your things. All of a sudden, the front door opens and your partner comes in the door calling your name. You can see the panic on their face. It's not what you think. Let me explain. What are you doing? Are you leaving? You can't just leave. Your partner takes a few steps towards you. Okay, perhaps this is the worst of it. Luckily, in this imaginary scenario, we have the power to freeze time again. Right here, right now, at the worst, freeze. Your partner isn't moving. Nothing is happening. You're not in danger. You're just filled with thoughts and emotions. Let's observe what is happening. When I observe myself in this frozen moment, initially, all that I kind of notice and hear is fuck, 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 no, 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 no. My nervous system is in full-blown flight mode. My only focus is to get away and get away fast. But everything is frozen. I can't go anywhere. And the threat, i.e. my partner, is also frozen. It's kind of like having a bear in the woods jump out at you, and then you freeze time right at that moment where their jaws are just about to clamp down on your face. And you're left to just let that rush of fear, panic, adrenaline, and stress vibrate through your body without doing anything about it. This goes against everything that our emotions are programmed to make us do. My partner coming home in this moment, before I had time to leave, remember, all I wanted was to never see my partner again and just get away. This feels like the worst case scenario for me. It re-shocks my system, and once again, I lose touch with reality and definitely lose touch with my intellectual brain. But as I observe myself frozen in this moment, I let the feeling flow through my body, and I have time to see that I'm not in danger. My partner coming home right now is not a threat to me. The worst that can happen here is emotional discomfort, a terrible emotion. And, well, I'm already feeling that. I am allowed to leave my home. I'm allowed to not want to have a conversation with my partner right now. And it is actually safe for me to hear my partner's words coming at me before I get out the door. They cannot harm me. The I'm going to die right now feeling slowly but surely turns into a this is extremely uncomfortable but not dangerous feeling, which starts the blood flow back up to the intellectual brain, and you feel safe enough to once again unfreeze time. So, time starts again. While your partner says words at you, you grab the last of your belongings, you say to your partner that this is not the time to talk, you need time alone, and this conversation will take place once everyone has had a chance to calm down. You ask your partner to please respect your decision to leave, and then you walk out the door. So, for me, in my mind, this is where the immediate danger ends, because I do have that flight stress response in me. So once I'm out the door, once I have like a free path to flee from the danger, I feel my heart rate go down a little bit. I feel a little bit more safe. So this, I think, is a good place to pause this exercise for today. When it comes to cheating scenarios and practicing getting cheated on, there are a lot of different phases that need practice and processing. When will you have this conversation? What will your partner do while you're away? What will they say about it? When will you find out about who she is? What will your friends and family think? How will you move out and find a new place to live? What if you want to forgive and continue the relationship? These are all potentially scary situations, but you can practice experiencing them by imagining what would happen, what you would think, and how you would feel. Walk yourself through them with this time-freezing tool that we have used today, and show yourself how capable you are of pausing, feeling, and not reacting. Watch yourself handle these situations as the person you want to be. In the end, it's our fear of the situation that is the biggest problem, not the situation itself. When we don't trust ourselves and our ability to handle and survive scary, painful situations like this, that is when our brains become obsessed with preventing or avoiding them. This exercise helps demonstrate to your brain that you are capable of handling it, even if it feels like you're going to die. I know you probably didn't find this episode very enjoyable, but I hope you at least found it helpful. If you want to learn how to enjoy your good relationship and stop ruining it because of fear, go to katrinbernt.com to read more about the coaching that I do, how to work with me one-on-one, and then submit your coaching application. I will see you back here next week for another episode. Bye-bye.